Welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Sarah Beth Pollock.
Hey everyone, we are back with another episode of the Undead Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Beth Pollock, and I'm here again with Adam B. Carlson. And it is Valentine's Day, Sunday night. Well, it's technically Valentine's Day for me. I believe it's after Valentine's Day for Adam.
True.
So we're technically, it's the embargo for these episodes, the Walking Dead bonus episodes, lifts on midnight Eastern time. So we're kind of in this weird, I don't know, mysterious gray area where I'm allowed to talk about it. And Adam hasn't seen the episodes. So we're just going to kind of have a really vague, we're going to channel our Scott M. Gimple and have a really vague conversation where we reveal nothing and Adam asks questions about things that I can't answer. And I don't know, we'll go from there. And Adam's all bundled up right now. What's the, where in the world are you and what's your temperature at the moment?
Well, I'm in pretty much as close to Canada as you can get in terms of Michigan. If I were to swim across Lake Superior, which you couldn't swim right now. I mean, I could probably ice skate, but it'd be a long haul, but that's how far north I am. And things are a little chilly right now. I'm checking my phone just to see. And right now it says it's negative 10. Oh, just changed to negative 11. Feels like negative 23. So I'm happy staying indoors with my kitties and just relaxing. Maybe have a nice warm bowl of soup.
Yeah, see, I'm the exact opposite because here in San Diego, I can actually quite literally look out my window and see Mexico. So I'm on the polar opposite, pun intended. And it is a very chilly 58 degrees where I am. I'm kind of in hibernation mode already where I don't know. I know it's not negative. I know
50 something negative. Is shorts and sandals. Come on now.
No, I'm bundled. I'm in sweats and I'm cold and I like, if it gets below 60, I am a native San Diegan. Okay. So like if it gets below 60, I start getting into like chill mode. And basically what that means is like, I turn into like a 5-year-old and I just want to get under the covers with a stuffed animal or a cat or a space heater and just get warm. Like I get cold really easily. I live by the water. So it's like, I don't know, but I'm cold, but I'm not as cold as you are. And so for that, I apologize because
I don't mind it. I'm happy to be here instead of the 110 in the summer. So you can keep that. I don't want any of that.
Yeah, no, that is the trade-off. And although I will say, I think I'm the weird one in the family because I will take the heat over the cold any day.
You're crazy.
I think I'm the only one in my family who feels that way. But when I get cold and I don't like it. So
that, and would you rather have a frozen zombie or a sweaty zombie? I mean, I know zombies got to be sweating in that heat, right?
Well, you know, I think at that point it gets down to the smell. I don't know if do zombies sweat? I mean, do they even have like sweat glands anymore? Like they probably fell out.
I mean, they can drool, right? We've seen that.
That's true. Those things are capable of just about anything, but I would think the stench, I think I would take a frozen zombie over a sweaty, stinky zombie any day. I can already imagine what that must be like. And I don't think I would want to do that.
Just wait. They'll come out with some sort of flavored Skittles for that soon.
Oh, God. Those are what you give to like.
I've never tried those zombie Skittles, but I don't think I want to.
I'm not good with flavors either. I'm a very sensitive palate. Very sensitive. I'm just a sensitive person, I guess. I'm a cancer. That's what cancers are. We're crabs. We just stay in our little house shells and in our little temperate house shells and don't eat weird things that taste funny because that just defies logic. But
my sister just brought me over a bunch of weird pickle flavored candy canes that I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to sample.
You know, pickle flavored candy canes. That is that's interesting.
That is interesting. Definitely is.
Well, you know, The Walking Dead will be back in a couple of weeks, and maybe you can use those as party favors. Some pickles so that your face is adequately puckered as you watch the zombies eating brains or something, because that just strikes me as pickles. Pickles and mustard. Those are two things I just can't deal with.
I like those things, but not as candy.
Condiment-wise. Not as candy and not as condiments. I have a very sensitive palate. So now that we've both established that we are very chilly in our respective locations, it is Valentine's Day, and I do want to give a shout out to the lovely Danai Gurira. It's her birthday today. And
isn't she fantastic, though?
I miss Michonne a lot. Oh, she's wonderful. She is wonderful. And I'm so glad that she is doing, that Danai is doing so well. And I mean, there's nothing she does that isn't just fantastic.
It's true.
So at least we get to enjoy her elsewhere. But I do miss Michonne.
Also, I do want to give a little shout out to my sister, who also has her birthday on Valentine's Day, which is pretty cool. We didn't do anything to celebrate this year, but hopefully we will figure something out once things calm down a bit. And I know that phrase gets used a lot, but hopefully it will happen eventually.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, that it's funny you mention that, because I am being in Southern California, there's not a lot you can do with the pandemic being as bad as it is, and especially up in LA. So a lot of, one of the only things you can do is drive at this point. You know, you can go on car rides and stay in your car. And so I've gone all over the place. And just on Thursday, I decided that I wanted to go to Palm Springs, because I've never been to Palm Springs. I've always wanted to go, but I didn't realize it was only like 120 something miles away. And on my way, I ran into the Cabazon Dinosaurs. And if you don't know what those are, if you've ever seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I have, and I when you shared photos of those, that's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the dinosaurs, and they're decorated for Valentine's Day. So of course I had to stop, and I just got completely, I turned into a five-year-old, and I was so excited to see the dinosaurs that I paid to go into the dinosaur, like little walk-around thing. I was the only adult there by myself with no kids. There were kids everywhere, and I was just having the best time looking at the
dinosaurs. Glad that didn't stop you, though. Just do your thing, have fun. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. If they had a pink dinosaur, Adam, I had to go. Like, I mean, what am I really going to do? A pink brontosaurus and a giant green T-Rex with Be Mine wearing a tuxedo. Of course I'm going to stop and see it and, you know, freak out a little bit, so...
See, that's the kind of stuff they should have been discovering on the earlier episodes of Fear of the Walking Dead, just coming across cool little situations like that.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, and there's a casino like right next door. So they could have taken, that could have been the resort. Instead of being in Rosarito, they could have been at that casino next to the dinosaurs. and you can even, and they even have it to where you can go up inside the T-Rex, and you could use that as an outlook where you could shoot zombies from the mouth of the T-Rex.
Ooh.
That would be.
Yeah, see, I've never really been down by the California or Atlanta way, but, you know, if I was transitioning into that, things that I know in like Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, it'd be like knocking over the biggest ball of twine and having it run over some walkers. I mean, I want to see that. I want to see that.
Yeah. I think the regional flair is something that we should all aspire to in the show. I mean, that's what those things are there for. I mean, Seattle Space Needle. I mean, the London Eye, that big Ferris wheel thing, like people could be shooting zombies from that. Like that's what these things are there for zombies.
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully with Tales of the Walking Dead that will, maybe they'll catch up. Maybe they'll, maybe Scott M. Gimple is listening to this podcast saying, hey, those are really great ideas and we're going to use some of them. And, you know, a little excitement wouldn't be bad, which is a very interesting segue into kind of the reason that we're here tonight, because it is the 15th, and it is the day that the embargo lifts on the first two episodes of the extended season 10C. Adam has not seen these episodes. I saw them.
I'm not even really sure what they are. One of them, I think, is a Maggie episode. Like Maggie-centric, maybe. I don't know. And I'm sure one of them is one of the Carol and Daryl episodes. At least one of them. I don't know.
Yeah, so I do have the episode descriptions here, so we can kind of get on the same page with those. So episode 1017, this is the one that's going to, it's the premiere that would be on February 28th. And if you have AMC Plus, it'll be on the 21st, which is weird. But the first episode is a week early. And then I think there's the preview show. The Talking Dead preview show is also on the 21st. So lots of Walking Dead coming up next week.
Yeah.
So episode 1017, the title is Home Sweet Home. And the description is Maggie has returned to the dismay of Negan. The trial she endured since leaving has made her harder. Okay, that doesn't make sense. The trial she endured since leaving has made her harder in order for her and her son to survive. I think there's an it missing from that sentence.
No, it's hardened her up. She's tougher now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess maybe.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like she would need to be toughened up when she left with Georgie's group, because they looked like they had everything pretty much under control and were a pretty organized and group with not a lot of issues. So maybe some tragedy hit there or something. But I'll be one of the first to say that I'm not super psyched to see what's been going on with Maggie. When she left the show, I didn't miss the character a ton. And now that she's come back, even during the episode when she made her return, I wasn't like super excited for that return either. I am interested to see what, you know, Glenn's baby's up to, mm-hmm. how that evolution has happened, who the cool ninja person is that was with her. Mm-hmm. Learn a little bit more there, because maybe that's a good character. You never know. But Maggie, to me, is going to have to earn the way back into my Walking Dead heart, because right now I'm not really feeling it, but maybe this episode will do the trick.
Yeah. Well, the description finishes up with when her past catches up to her, Daryl and Maggie unexpectedly fight an unseen and unknown threat. This is the episode. I don't think it's spoiling it because it's in the trailer, but it's the only one that has, as far as I know, because if you read the descriptions, they're pretty clear on who's in those episodes. But the conversation that you see in the trailer where she's talking about Herschel asking about Glenn and what happened to Glenn and if the bad man was punished and she doesn't know how to deal with that. That's all kind of this episode, because that's what this episode is. So, you know, it's one of those instances in my mind where a lot of those punches were kind of revealed in the trailer. There's a lot in the trailer. My initial impression, and I guess I want to temper this a little bit, because obviously, you know, take a step back and say that, you know, these were filmed. This was the first, these were the first episodes filmed during the pandemic.
Right.
They were kind of a trial. You can definitely see that. You see a lot of cut scenes, you know, with camera work that's behind people, you know, where the camera's behind somebody looking towards somebody. So you know that there's 6 feet of space. There's very creative. Doesn't let up on any of the action. I mean, there's not as many walkers, but there's still walkers. There's still some really brilliant walker kills. There's a lot of action, but it doesn't have the feel of a premiere. And I don't think it was meant to be honest. So I want to kind of temper that, because watching it, it feels the two episodes I saw, and the thing that they have in common is that they both feel like they're middle episodes. 1017 is like just a regular episode with a bunch of people. 1018 feels more like a bottle episode where it's centered on just, you know, two people. But they're not, you know, so this isn't like an explosive season premiere type situation. Not at all. Which I think is kind of interesting, because I think a lot of people are going to watch it and going to have that kind of sense of like, well, this didn't really feel like it was that big of a deal. Like, you know, it's just kind of Maggie's story.
But if you're not really into Maggie, does this episode have something else for you to enjoy?
Yes. You know, one of the things I saw in a lot of the comments, and if you look at the pictures that were released that are on the Walking Dead social media sites, there's a bunch of other characters. So you mentioned Elijah, the ninja, who's, you know, who's a mysterious character. And then there's a couple of other people that have popped up in photos. You do get to meet other people, and hopefully these people stick around because they're kind of interesting. So you get to meet some people. You do get a sense of what's been going on.
Now, when you say that, a sense of what's going on,
and kind of what's been going on,
are you talking about in terms of her personal journey, or in terms of what is happening with the other settlement where she was?
Both.
Oh, okay. All right.
Both. I don't think that I don't think that gives anything away, and you do get, I mean, she does fill in the gaps, and I will say this: between the two episodes, this episode feels more like what a season 11 episode would have been, because it's a natural, you know, Maggie just showed up all of a sudden in the season finale, and that was kind of like, oh wow, you know, great, she's here. You needed to have some kind of a follow up to that in order for the episode, for, you know, for her appearance to work and get back into it. So this is very much that, and you definitely get a sense of Maggie's back, and you know, this is why she's back, and this is where she's been.
Now,
this is what's been going on.
Can you comment on whether this back is a permanent back?
You don't get that sense, but I didn't get the sense of it not being permanent, if that makes sense. Like, they don't come out. There's no point where they're like, this is it. But at the same time, you don't get a sense of like, well, this is
just a visit.
Yeah. It's definitely not a visit. It's more than a visit. And I feel, like I said, if my instinct is correct, this episode would have been a very perfect fit or season 11 to open up some bigger things that will happen later on.
Okay.
So there is a lot going on, and you do see little Herschel, and because he's in the pictures, and he's in the you know, behind the scenes stuff. So I mean, Herschel was bound to show up somewhere. So you know.
So if you were to like guess, or I guess I'm bad with the timeline. If we think about how long it's been since Maggie's been gone, I'm not even really sure how old that would make baby Herschel.
Well, he would be like, if you think about it in terms of Judith, when Negan was holding Judith in season 7, she was probably like just about 2, maybe just under 2.
Yeah.
Right? She was older than 1, less than 2. And Maggie was still pregnant. So he's probably just maybe a year or so behind Judith, but he could be the exact same age as, or not the exact same age, but he could be closer in age to RJ.
Okay.
Timeline-wise, because if Michonne was pregnant when Rick left, and Maggie was pregnant when Rick left, she would have been right behind Maggie, because Maggie was just barely showing, and then Michonne wasn't, because we didn't know she was pregnant at the time.
Because if I'm being honest, I've already seen the conversation between Maggie and Negan, and I don't need to see much more of that. That doesn't really interest me so much. But if there's some kind of conversation between Herschel and Negan where Negan has to kind of explain to him what happened to his dad, now that could be something that is a little bit more harder to navigate.
Mm-hmm. And that would, it would be. And I think more than anything, I think that it is slightly misleading. I mean, I think that, so what strikes me as odd about this episode with Maggie is that, you know, she does come back, and for her, it's not that it's odd, but for her, she is every bit as upset about Negan now as she was then, which is completely justified, right?
Sure. But
what's odd is that everything else is different. Everyone else is in a different place because Negan has done things and kind of shown his value, even though he was the one who was with the Whisperers when they destroyed Hilltop.
Yeah, but that also opens up other questions too. Like, did they ever show what happened with the fallout from him when he accidentally hit the girl and she died against the side of the house, or when he went off in the woods with Brandon and Brandon ended up dead? I mean, there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered in terms of Negan, and they've all kind of been brushed over according to the story.
Well, I mean, I would say I hope that, you know, I mean, none of that was in this particular episode, but maybe that's kind of where they're going with Here's Negan. Maybe that's why they wanted to have that episode, because it allows him to have his moment to explain himself.
I mean, sure, Negan has saved Judith from the snowstorm. He infiltrated the Whisperers and took out Alpha, and, you know, he proved that he wasn't going to run away during that final clash against the Whisperers. But there's still got to be some of those, especially if there's any of the old highwaymen that are still out there that can't really forgive him for what happened to their running buddy, or some of the old saviors for how he used to treat them, or some people that are still just completely upset about Abraham or Glenn or some of the others that were lost along the way, like, you know, Dr. Harlan and some of the others. It's just, I guess Negan is such a polarizing character from a lot of aspects that fans enjoy him because he's a bit edgy, but edgy isn't a good thing to be in a zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. When you're such a polarizing character, you got to kind of watch your back all the time. And I'm not sure if having to watch your back around Maggie is something that Negan is really going to have to do.
Well, and that makes it interesting. I mean, and again, I think if anything, this will play out in some of those later episodes with them, especially with Here's Negan. But it is, and that's what makes Maggie's return so interesting, because she is in a very different place than everybody else. And that makes it kind of puts the spotlight back, because, like I say, everybody, I mean, even, you know, Alden, like, he was in that boat, like,
yeah,
you know, there are people who are still around, but they've kind of managed to shift their view a little bit as much as possible,
which is strange because they didn't see as much of the positives as the viewers of the show did. I mean, a lot of the stuff that happened where Negan decided to come back or decided to take the high road, those aren't things that a lot of the characters got to see when the viewers did. So it's strange seeing that from a viewer point of view compared to a character point of view.
Well, it's interesting because the two characters who probably see that the most, aside from Judith, because I think Judith has a very keen insight into Negan's personality and doesn't, you know, we know she doesn't pull any punches with them,
right?
Shot at him. But the two characters that seem to have the most kind of the most interesting insight into his character are Daryl and Carol now, because Daryl has fought with him and Carol worked with him, and those are two people you wouldn't have expected. I mean, Carol wasn't around for the things that happened, so she didn't see any of that. So she saw in him, you know, kind of an expendable ally. Like, it's like a suicide squad.
Right.
You know, like, you're either going to rot in the cell or you can go do something with your life and maybe, you know, get some points.
But, and Daryl was there to see two of his friends get their heads smashed in.
You might die trying. Yeah. Yeah. So she didn't see any of that. Whereas Daryl was, and Daryl was his prisoner for a while.
Right.
And they, you know, he felt comfortable enough to fight with him and saw that, you know, he was out there. He didn't have to be. I mean, the thing with the scene with Beta, as frustrating as it was, you know, that it was so quick.
Right.
You know, he did, you know, Daryl was like, well, you weren't even supposed to be out here, and here you are, and now we're fighting. You know, like, they just, it was a very natural thing. So yeah, I mean, I think a lot of those things could come back, but I think that's one of the most interesting aspects of that episode, is that it's, you know, it is kind of bringing those things back, for better or for worse, because it does feel kind of rehashed, but with Maggie back, I mean, you have to do those things. So it's done well. It's a well-written episode. You know, it's not spectacular, but it's not a bad episode. I mean, it's...
Okay, so does the Walking Dead universe feel a little bit more full during this episode because she returned? Does it feel like a return that needed to happen to, like, give a little bit of a jolt of energy? Or does it seem like just sort of an addition that could potentially help? Or what was the feeling that you got based on Maggie's return from this episode?
I think by the end of the episode, I started to see why she came back, or what the narrative vehicle for her return was going to be. The reason that, you know, it goes beyond them saving her friends, and it's actually something else. There's something else going on that is covered by this spoilers. So there is something that happens that and that's what I was saying about it being like, you could see where this would tie into season 11, because the things that happen could become bigger later on, if that makes sense. Like they're it's not a one and done episode where you're just like, okay, we're going to move on to the next topic. It's something that's going to keep, they could keep going.
Okay.
If they wanted to go that direction. I don't know if they are, because I don't know what the heck's going on with these episodes, but at this point, that's my feeling, is like there was a reason that they did what they did, and that they introduced the things they did so that we could tell more stories, or it opens up for season 11. So.
All right.
But that kind of brings me to 10-18, because if you want to talk about polar opposite episodes, that would be these two episodes. We talked about this the other day. We talked about, you know, there's been so much talk about these episodes, especially 10-18. And as soon as the episodes were released, there were spoilers out. And I didn't watch the episode until last night, because I just kind of wanted to wait until the last minute. And I was anxious about it. And my first impression, I feel kind of bad, because it's not a bad episode. It doesn't make any sense in any sense of the story or what it does. It's not like the other one where it could set something up for the future. It's very much what we had talked about the other day about why these episodes exist to begin with. Like, what do these bonus episodes do for the greater good of the storytelling? This one seems the most out of place between the two, and it could be one of the most out of place episodes I've ever seen on the series.
Interesting.
It's kind of random. So just as a refresher, this episode is called Find Me, and the description is, Daryl and Carol find an old cabin that takes Daryl back to his years away from the group after Rick disappeared. He relives the painful memory of meeting a reticent survivor and the toxic events that amplified his relationship with Dog. So it's a dog episode, and it's a great dog episode. Oh my God. Dog just steals the show. And so from that perspective, it's a really, really good episode. From the other perspective, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, because this is the one that I know people wanted to hear what my thoughts were. And, you know, obviously I'm very sensitive to the people who did look at spoilers, and it does sound like most of the spoilers are fairly accurate, I guess, but kind of in a misleading way. Because I came away with a really different sense of what was going on and what's going to happen or what's going to come out of this than I think a lot of people did. And just for the viewers or for the listeners, I guess, as soon as we get done with this conversation, I'm going to say something to Adam off the air about this episode, so that when it's not going to be spoiler, he's not going to know what this means at all, but I'm just going to kind of bookmark a thing that I want to come back to. Because that was the thing that stood out the most to me about the episode. And I know a lot of people were upset because it does introduce a new character into the series that wasn't there before. And it presents, you know, we've often wondered what happened during those time jumps. You know, and that's something I've always wanted to know. I don't know about you, Adam.
Honestly, not so much.
Well, maybe it depends on the time jump, but like 6 years is a long time, you know? And one of the, I mean, for me, one of the pet peeves that I have about that particular time jump, some of them I don't notice as much. That time jump I noticed a lot because I wanted to know why the Hilltop didn't talk with Alexandria anymore. And why the kingdom fell apart and nobody seemed to care. Like, how could you not care that your friends are suffering? Like, how did everybody just let the saviors go? Like, not go in the sense of like having their freedom, but like somebody should have known, or somebody should have done something, or, you know, shouldn't something have happened to give up a whole community where people could have been living? You know, like, those were the questions I had.
Yeah.
And this episode doesn't like really answer any of those things, but like, it does, you know, it is an attempt to go back and kind of look at that time frame. And I think everybody wanted to know about Dog and how Daryl came by Dog. This episode does do that.
One of the things that interested me a bit as far as this episode is, of course, we all know that this is going to have quite a bit of Daryl in it, most likely. But Daryl disappeared after Rick's exit. And the last thing that Daryl really saw from Rick, other than, you know, the fight on the bridge, which I think he was there for that, right?
Yeah, he saw the bridge blow up.
Was him and Rick fighting in that pit, right? They were arguing and...
Right, they were in that pit. And so they went from the pit, they got out of the pit and went to the bridge, or made it to the bridge at similar times, and then things happened.
Right. So this is another situation where it's possible that Daryl has more guilt for the loss of a friend, because he really didn't end on a good note with Rick at all.
Well, and that's, I mean, when you think about Daryl as a character, and we talked about this the other day, when you think about him as a character, I mean, he is somebody who has a lot of, whether it's justified or not, he has a lot of guilt that he deals with. I mean, you know, he lost his brother. There were some things that happened with that. He didn't have a chance I won't say he lost Beth, but Beth was lost while they were together.
Yeah.
And maybe that could have gone down differently. You know, he...
And we saw him have guilt with Maggie about that. We saw his guilt over the death of Glenn, which again, you know, a situation where he had to apologize to Maggie. And now with Rick, that guilt is more of a personal guilt, but he's got a lot that he internalizes, and it's made his character a little bit more complicated, when before it was more of just a, you know, I'm an action star. I can kill a lot of zombies. I'm a rogue badass. And they touched a little bit on some of his problems with his family and his psychological well-being. And they never really returned to that on the show. So I'm hoping that we can get a little bit more of a look inside Daryl rather than a look at Daryl in this episode.
Right. And, you know, those are really good points because, you know, Daryl is very much he's not somebody who holds on to, he holds on to hope, but he's somebody who deals in like cold hard facts. You know, he's a tracker. He's very practical. He lives off the land. Like he's somebody who looks at things and he's going to make a determination. And in his mind, one of the things that makes zero sense in somebody's, you know, in his mind, somebody like him, is that there was never a body, never found Rick's body.
Right.
And Rick was never a walker. And so in his mind, he looked at that as if there's no body, as we know in the Walking Dead universe, if you don't see a body or you don't see a walker, then you probably, you know, barring
Rick, the only time I think I've ever had an exception to that rule was Travis. I'm pretty sure Travis died.
Well, you know, that one made sense because there's a lot going on in that helicopter, but it's possible, I suppose, you know. I mean, for a while we all thought that Troy Otto was coming back and Madison brained him pretty good.
She sure did.
I was trying to figure out how that would work, you know. I mean, the poor guy, she carved his eye out with a spoon the first time they met, and then the second, you know, then she clocked him in the head with that hammer, and it's like, yeah, but we thought he was coming back, you know, somehow. But
yeah, those reports were really odd. I wasn't buying it because that would have just been ridiculous. I'd have loved it though. I liked that character, but yeah, it's just no, absolutely not.
So that's, you know, that's you definitely. What I love about this episode is this is a really interesting depiction of Norman Reedus doing what Norman Reedus does as Daryl best. This is kind of like going back, like if you wanted to draw a parallel, like this is Daryl looking for Sophia in season 2.
Mm.
Like he was on a quest. He was on a mission. This was his life. You get the sense that this is, you know, he wanted to be able to figure out where Rick was, and that's what he was doing the whole time, you know, basically until Carol found him in the woods in what, season 9.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he was doing, and it's the story that he tells that's where people start, you know, that's where the spoiler people are kind of getting frustrated. But I think it's a really interesting Daryl story. The reason that I say it feels out of place is there's a couple of reasons. It's like, it's almost like watching these characters but in a different show, because it just doesn't fit with what's going on. You're just kind of like, well, why are you here? Why are you doing this right now? How did you not know where you were if this is where you were exploring for 6 years? How did you not know where you were ended up? Like, why do you seem surprised to have ended up where you are? You know, so all of these things kind of play out and you're like, okay, well, like, I get that it's a quiet, you know, it's quiet. There's no major villain kind of going on right now. Now the whisperers are gone. You know, it's a good time to kind of get off and do some other exploring. But I made a note, I'm kind of looking at my notes, and one of the things that I'd written down was that the dialogue is almost cute between Daryl and Carol, but it's also very awkward. It's like, it's slightly awkward, and it just feels like it just doesn't fit with where we've been for 10 seasons. So when you watch it, you go, well, you know, it's like I said, it's a great dog episode, and there's some stuff in there that just breaks your heart, and you're just like, and I got a major, major vibe, World Beyond connection with this episode. And I was like, wow, something happens in this episode that reminds me of something that happened to somebody else in World Beyond. And it's really, really cool to see those parallels and see how other people deal with it. And so I was like, okay, that's all great. And I tried not to let the pressure of all of the things that I'd been hearing on social media about this episode kind of impact the way I view it. But without a doubt, people are going to watch this episode and they're going to say, why does this episode exist? Where does it fit in the greater scheme of things? Would it ever have existed beyond, you know, would it be a season 11 episode? My thought is no, this episode probably never would have come to life if not for what, you know, the ability to have these extra episodes. It's not something that fits in a narrative sense the way 1017 does, where there's some stuff that happens where you're like, okay, well, that could be a whole new story. This, I don't know, it's a weird episode, but it's not. As a Walking Dead fan and non-shipper, it's a great episode. It's written well, and it's got all the stuff in it that you like. It's got the zombies, it's got the drama, it's got the tension, it's got...
It ticks the boxes, huh?
Prizes. Yeah, I mean, it's got all that. But it just, for what it is and what it does, you're just like, oh man, like...
Now... If you're not a big fan, I know I asked the same question about Maggie, but if you're not a big Daryl or Carol person, this episode probably doesn't have much to offer for you. Unless you're a dog fan, I guess.
Well, I think dog is going to be the kind of the guiding, the one that kind of guides everybody through this, because you do see, you see where he comes from. You see why he's there and where this whole thing started. And like I said, it's a very touching story, and it's very well thought out. It does the little thing where it advances time really well. Also, you see how quickly, or not quickly, but you see the time passing in the episode and how long this has been going on. And so you do get that sense that you know, you're kind of going through the whole 6-year period in this episode. So it moves quickly. It's not like it lags in any area. Huh. But it's really, I mean, it really is, it's going to be very divisive. And the thing that I tell you is, I think, a perspective that changes it from a character standpoint. That's the best way I can describe it, is that it takes something that I thought I knew of a character, and it spins it in a way that I didn't expect to see.
Huh.
Which means nothing, really. It's I feel bad. Now I feel like Scott M. Gimple in such a weird way, because I feel like I'm not really saying anything about anything.
But will this spin make an impact on how you see this character going forward? Or is this just something that... Oh, okay.
Yes, hands down. You will. It's impossible to watch. This episode will change a lot for... everybody, really. I mean, Daryl and Carol. I mean, it's their episode. I think Dog comes out relatively unscathed. At least I hope he does. I mean, he's... I don't know. Maybe by the time the episode's over, people see him differently too.
But possibly.
It's. I mean, you definitely get that sense that, like I said, it's a good story episode. You know, like it's.
But it doesn't feel like it fits in the larger picture of things.
Yeah, it's very much like a bottle episode. And if The Walking Dead was in a vacuum, and you didn't have to think about, you know, there's 30 episodes left, and you want to make the most of those episodes. My personal take would be, why would you have this episode? Now, one thing that occurred to me is that maybe this episode was written before they knew they were ending the show. That could explain it. Because
do you feel like this could be a possible... Well, I don't know, the way you explain it, it's hard to say that this would be a fan service episode, because it doesn't sound like a fan service, really.
It's definitely, I mean, that was, you know, from the very get-go, you know, and I mean, I don't think we need to tiptoe around that, because it's a Daryl and Carol episode. So people who our fans of Daryl and Carol being together are upset. So it's not too difficult to figure out why they would, you know, what could happen in an episode that would make them upset. Now, if they were excited about it, then it would be fan service, right?
But it is an episode centering around two of the most popular characters on the show,
right? Who
are involved in the largest ship, maybe in television right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's interesting because it's an interesting decision, and I mean, the one thing I will say is that I think it's the fifth bonus episode where they get. It's another Daryl and Carol episode. So I'm not overly concerned about what this episode does in the greater scheme of things, because obviously everybody's living in the same community. Like, nobody's running off. Like, it's just weird. It's not like earth shattering in that sense. So, and we know that whatever happens in what would it be, 1021, they're back to, like, they're working together on something else. So I don't know. Like, I don't know where this episode is supposed to put. I don't know what it's supposed to do. And I think, you know, I'll probably sum it up this way. This episode would be very, very different if I didn't have the episode descriptions for the upcoming episodes. So those next ones, because Carol's in Here's Negan too.
Plus, if you didn't know that, like, the Carol and Daryl spinoff was coming, this would probably be a little bit different of a feeling as well.
Well, right. That's probably the biggest piece, which makes me wonder, you know, because again, I will put my tinfoil hat on and spin my conspiracy theories, and I will say that, you know, I think they may have announced that spinoff so that people wouldn't freak out over this episode, but it also changes the way you watch the whole show. Or maybe it's setting up how that show will be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that from what I can say is watching the season finale, the season 10 finale, knowing that spinoff was coming kind of ruined the whole Carol on the cliff thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I never had a sense that she was going to actually jump. Looked like it, but I never had the sense that was going to happen, because I know what, you know, like, we know that there's a spinoff coming. Now that we know what happens during the time jump, I think we mentioned this the other day in the last podcast, that there was always a possibility that maybe the Carol and Daryl spinoff could take place in the past. This kind of makes that impossible.
Okay.
Because it clarifies exactly what was going on in those 6 years for both of them. So it's weird having that piece of information. I mean, I guess it's kind of like looking back, knowing that the Rick Grimes movies had been announced when we knew that he was also leaving the show. So
yeah,
you know, you kind of had a sense that unless it took place in the past, he had to survive somehow, but it was just a matter of what was going to happen. I don't know, because you know, poor Rick, I mean, now that we know what we know about World Beyond, he isn't necessarily alive. We just know he didn't die in that moment. That's all we know. That's all we know, is that he didn't die in that moment. But given how things are going over in World Beyond, it doesn't look too great over there either.
No. It really doesn't.
So yeah.
So as a whole, you like the episodes, but you feel like they lack a bit of a punch that you were hoping from them, right?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. I mean, they're definitely not earth-shattering, you know, very much, they're very much pandemic episodes, you know, they're a smaller scale. I get when Scott M. Gimple said that they were going to feel more intimate. I get what that means now. They're very character driven. you know, the dialogue probably is a result of that, because we don't really have time. You know, usually they're being chased by someone, or they're trying to kill someone, or, you know, something bad's happening. So you don't really have a chance to just sit down and, you know, shoot your shot with the person next to you. You don't really have those moments in a show like this. But in these episodes, you do. There are those moments where they just sit down and talk. And I think that's the whole pandemic aspect of it. Because, you know, it's easier to just have conversations than have to figure out how to deal with the walkers and filming all that. So, that, you know, you do get that sense that these are maybe a glimpse of what's to come, the way the episodes will feel in the future. I don't know.
Well, I am excited for them to air, and I am interested to see what they have to offer me, but I'm going to keep my expectations a little tempered, because I know that these aren't, like, established episodes. Like, they probably will be more of in season 11, but I got to kind of remember that these are to hold us over, not like... to use an example, I guess, this is like the little snack we're going to have to hold us over till dinner.
It very much is. And, you know, if you think about when the pandemic started, and I remember on Instagram, there were a lot of the writers were posting pictures of how they were doing their virtual writers' rooms. And they were like, yeah, we're doing season 11, and that was long before they ever decided to do these episodes.
Right.
You know, I don't think they had this in mind. And so that's my only thing that kind of bugs me, because I don't understand, you know, yes, it's nice to have these hold you over, but at the same time, you were working on season 11 episodes, because those would have been filmed over the summer so that they could air in the fall.
It kind of makes you wonder if these episodes were like rejected pitches that they're able to throw together, or
and again, they're not bad, but we said this the other day. Obviously, you have to know what's going on with Eugene and Ezekiel and Yumiko.
Right.
And that's an episode that would make sense. This episode of Maggie makes sense. These are questions that we have and that we need to answer, and that, you know, we want to have some clarity with. But some of these other ones, I mean, at least for 1018, can't speak to the other ones, but I do wonder if that's if you're on to something with that, because they do feel very much out of place. It does feel out of place, and I don't know, you know, how that works. If it's maybe a mix of like, hey, we're going to do this, you know, we need to kind of keep the story going with, you know, with Maggie, and we need to talk about what's going on with those Commonwealth people, and we'll mix in some other stuff just for the hell of it. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate your honesty about the episodes and answering my questions, because I don't think there's much else you can really say right now about each of the shows without giving too much away or ruining some aspect of the show for people that are going to be watching it. So I do appreciate you saying what you can and giving little teases as to what to expect and what not to really expect. But I think the next thing we do is we wait for the episode to air on AMC Premiere and AMC. And I think we got to talk this out of the fandom and see where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'll be a fun way to kind of utilize the podcast coming up is, you know, really breaking down those episodes, because there is going to be a lot to break down. And so I think people are going to need that, and they're going to want that. And I mean, that's kind of where it's at, because I want to say this just to is kind of the close, you know, as a fan of The Walking Dead, I liked the episodes. But I tempered my expectations a little bit. I had to, because, you know, I didn't know what they were going to be. So, you know, every now and then, as you know, some people like to think that I'm a cheerleader for everything. I'm not cheering so loudly for these episodes only because I don't think that they merit that kind. They're not like, you know, it's not like a Michael Satrazimus episode where, you know, the hilltop's under fire and they're having this big battle and you're just like, wow, look at this. Like, I've never seen this before. Or 908, which is one of my favorite episodes, when the Whisperers were first introduced and there's that, you know, the battle in the cemetery, you know, it's foggy and Jesus is fighting. And those were just insane episodes. Like, I could rave about those like all day long.
Yeah, the cinematography has to be just quite different for these episodes.
Oh yeah. But it's very it's very beautiful. It's very stylistic because you can do that because nobody's being chased. Or I shouldn't say nobody's being chased. It's not the scale that those up, you know, like it's not the same kind of thing where you have so many things going on and so many stories you have to tie up. It's one story. There's one story being told. So it's kind of like if you think about Fear the Walking Dead season 6, where it's focused on like one group of characters, that's kind of the same sense where you're not jumping around to like Alexandria and Hilltop and the Whisperers and some people in the forest and this and that. Like it's you have one group and you follow that one group.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but The Walking Dead only has 2 or 3 different directors that handled all 6 of these episodes, right?
Yeah, the first 2 episodes are David Boyd. I haven't seen the director list for the other ones. But, I mean, yes, you're definitely going to get that director's signature on these. And it shows, you know, there's really cool camera work. And, you know, it's like the scenery becomes a character, too. Because you're really kind of getting into things that you wouldn't normally be able to get into. Because normally it's just like, you know, it's so driven on the story and you have to get as much into those episodes because there's only 18 or 16 episodes each season. So, you know, each episode has to have so much in it. And these are just, I think that's the thing. It's like, they're good episodes, but they're just kind of like, ah, there you go. There's an episode. Like, you know, you end it, you're like, oh, okay, that was an episode. And, you know, but it's not like you don't get the sense that they tie together, if that makes sense. Like, it's not like
it does.
Oh, I can't wait to see what happens next week because of what happened this week. It's not, because like I said, you already know what's going to happen because they tell you. Like, I'm not giving anything away. They literally gave us the stories in the descriptions. So that's not a surprise. Like, there's no...
Right.
There's no continuation from week to week. Except from, I think it's 10:18 to 10:21. Those are the 2, like the Carol and Daryl episodes. So like, those are the only 2 that seem to maybe tie into each other. I don't know. I haven't seen the other one, but just based on that, like if you're looking at them, you're like, okay, well maybe those are related, but you know, it's going to be a Gabriel and Aaron episode. It's going to be a Negan episode. It's not like, you know, this one spins into this one. I don't get that sense at all. So hopefully that was helpful.
Or at least give you something to think about.
My honest thoughts. Yeah. I mean, I told everybody on social media I would be as honest and truthful as I possibly can. And that's about as honest and truthful as I can be. You know, obviously not revealing spoilers, but yeah, like it's good to have the show back. It'll be nice to have something to do on Sunday nights with everybody, but it's a different kind of Walking Dead episode. All, you know, the 2 that I saw, and I think the next ones will be too. They're different, and different can be good and it can be bad. So it really depends on the viewer. You know, you may watch 10:18 and be like, wow, that was a great episode, and I'm not even into Carol and Daryl. But you may be into the story. I don't know.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of spoiler-free reviews out there, and hopefully you trust Sarah Beth and Undead Walking to give you some truth and honesty in their feelings about the episodes, and but there will be others out there who maybe have different feelings. And as a viewer, you're entitled to your own feelings as how you feel about it. So yeah, I mean, yeah. It's going to be a lot of different opinions out there, a lot of different takes. And honestly, until you watch the episode yourself, I don't think it's anything to get too upset about. But once you see it, then react to it. Let us know how you feel. Let us know if you felt the same. I mean, it'd be kind of fun to hear from viewers a little bit more often about how they feel about some of the things that we were talking about.
You know, it's absolutely true. And I will leak this little thing. I've been playing around with new software, and I found a software where we can have live callers call in as we're podcasting. So maybe we can do that. And maybe, like, I would actually love to have somebody on who watches 1018, who said they wouldn't watch 1018, so that we could hear what they think. Like, I want to hear from people about what they think, but they need to see the episode to be able to do that. Like,
right.
You know, and I'm not like trying to, you know, bribe people to watch the episode just for the hell of it. But it's like, I really want to know, like, the people who didn't think they'd like it, to see what they feel after they watch it, because I think that's interesting. I mean, we all have different opinions. I mean, there are characters that you like that I don't like. There's characters I like that most people don't like, that, you know, I mean, I was sitting here waving the Fear the Walking Dead banner for 2 seasons, and now everybody likes the show, but I liked it before.
Oh, you were getting absolutely massacred on social media over that.
Yeah.
I just kept having to say, you know, I don't agree with you about what's going on there, but, you know, you're entitled to your opinion.
Well, you know, that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what we're here for. And you know, it's just a TV show. We're just fans of a TV show, but we all see different things at different times, you know, and that's, I think, the biggest takeaway from this. And so I'm really interested to see what, you know, I try not to use the word diehard, but I want to know what diehard Walking Dead fans think about these episodes, because I'm curious myself. I just am. I think it'll be an interesting thing, and so I'm curious to see how they're received by everybody.
Absolutely.
So I think we will end it there. There's a lot to look forward to this week. We'll have to see how we can play around with that first episode, because I know it airs next Sunday, and technically we're not supposed to talk about it, but it's on air. Like, you will have seen it. So technically, right. Maybe we can do like a reaction type thing. I don't know. We'll figure it out, but we will always, Adam and I will be here with you guys to walk through all of these things. So if you have any questions, hit us up on social media. Adam's a really easy one. His is MN Viking Zombie.
True.
Which, if you saw the picture of him, you'd get it, because he very much looks like a Viking, not a zombie, but he likes zombies.
True. The big red beard is a bit of a giveaway when it comes to the Viking look, which I think it works pretty well.
Yeah. You know, that's probably why you can deal with that negative 10 degrees and I can't, because I don't have a giant beard. So
see,
I'm you know.
Grow a beard and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, that would be a... I think I'll pass on the beard, but, you know. Maybe I'll get one of those crochet ones or something.
Oh, those are fun. But yeah, please check out my work on Undead Walking. I write an article over there every once in a while. Not too often anymore. I recently put one out about Michael Cudlitz on the new show Clarice, and I like that show, and I hope that you check it out and like it too.
Yeah, Clarice is awesome, and definitely want to support all of our Walking Dead family, and that's one of the new shows that is definitely good. We're just talking about Prodigal Son and Tom Haynes doing great work over there. And so there's some good shows to watch if you're not feeling these episodes, but you know, Walking Dead's going to be back pretty soon, and we'll all be able to enjoy that together, or, you know, watch together.
Absolutely. Watch I'm also part of the Fanside family over at the Viking Age, where if you're into the Minnesota Vikings, you can check that out. I'm putting articles out over there pretty often, and honestly, and I just love football.
Over doesn't mean that you don't have anything going on over there.
Oh, that's true. Things are ramping up. All these free agents happening, coaching hires. People are fired up for the draft. All these new players that are going to be coming into the league. It's always an exciting time over there at the Viking Age.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about Fansided. There is something for everybody. And lately I've been writing over at Winter is Coming and Culture Us. And so you can see just about if it exists, if it's a fandom, I've been talking about it, which is weird. So there's a little bit of Walking Dead stuff over there. There's some Viking stuff. There's not football.
Kardashian Viking stuff.
Viking. Oh my God. I wrote about the Kardashians. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that, but I have written about the Kardashians, written about Teen Mom. That was an interesting one. There's some really interesting things. I think I like the zombies better, but
did you see that, like, the American version is Teen Mom and then, like, the British version's Teen Mom?
Oh Lord, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. Yeah.
I've never seen either, but I saw the difference in the titles and I'm like, oh, okay. That makes that easy.
They have the queen. Yeah, they have the queen mom, so I guess that makes sense. But good Lord. Yeah, so we've got all sorts of stuff. But you know what? We're here doing this podcast and we are, you know, we're still dedicated to bringing you Walking Dead content. As we get closer, there will be some interviews and stuff like that. So keep an eye out. We'll keep you posted on social media. And so Adam at MN Viking Zombie, and I am at Sarah Beth Pollock. And obviously there's at Undead Walking FS if you want to hit us up over there. I think that's it. I think that was the if I say any more, I might start giving away spoilers. So we better end it here.
Yeah, we said we were going to keep this short, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So you might get a commercial break somewhere in the middle that sounds really weird, and I apologize for that because I was supposed to say, like, and now a commercial break, but I didn't. So if it pops up, that's why.
But Sarah Beth keeps inviting me back, and I keep coming back, so maybe you'll hear me again soon. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, no, Adam's always going to come back because somebody has to get me through this because I can't do it alone and I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else but Adam. So thank you for joining me, Adam, and we'll be back. We're going to talk about whatever else comes up this week. I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of new stuff coming up. And then we'll be with you as we get into these episodes. We're a week away from all sorts of new stuff. So with that, I will leave you with, you know, everybody, you need to stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, and watch out for those walkers. And we will see you soon. Thanks, everybody.